Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, hello, everyone. It isn't Steve, it's Becky Brown, and I am joined by the doctors, Dr. Alice Benton and Dr. Jim Burns. I'm so glad that you guys are with us. How are you?
Hey, hi, Becky. We're having a great start over here. How about you?
I'm glad to hear it.
I always love it when you're the host. They say Steve, and then you come on, and you know, I smile. Now, Steve's my good friend, but I love this. And to have Alice here, we were actually connecting yesterday online, talking about some of the great stuff that she's doing with a new book that she and Steve have. And so it's great to be with you today. It's going to be a good
day. That's good. Well, I agree with you, and we're going to help a bunch of people. And so if you're listening and you need some help, you've got some fine folks that can help you in Dr. Alice and Dr. Jim, and you can call us at 1-800-229-3000. But, you know, I want to start the show with just talking about regrets. Not that I'm going to air my dirty laundry or anything like that, but I think regrets are something that we all have. If you are living any sort of life, you're going to have things that you have done or you've experienced that have a tendency to kind of put their hooks in you. And it can really make an impact on how you connect with other people. And, you know, so I would love for both of you just to kind of talk about what are regrets and what can people do to deal with them.
Well, I'll start because I have regrets sometimes. And, you know, I had a big regret, Becky, 10 years into my marriage. Kathy and I have been married 48 years. It's radio, awesome. So you can't tell how old I look, like what I look like. But, you know, 48 years. But in the first 10 years, I put my energy into my work and so many other things. And I looked up at 10 years and said, you know what? We don't have the intimate marriage that we want. When I'm talking about intimate, we just not the connection. Kathy's an incredible woman. She was putting up with me. But I basically had to say to her, Kathy, I'm having an affair. Now, the affair wasn't with a woman, wasn't with a man. The affair was with my job. My mistress was my work. And I regret that because I basically lost 10 years of what we could have known in our marriage. And it wasn't bad. I mean, it wasn't like our marriage was like ready for a divorce. It was just kind of stale. And now that I made some moves and changes and I realized that hurry is violence to my soul and that I was too busy and busy people are often broken people, you know what? The regret is still there that, oh, we could have had a better first 10 years. But also the beauty about when you have a regret, you can do something about it. And the word is repent. It's a biblical word.
There you go.
And when you repent and you make a change, and that's what Kathy and I did, you know, today we were looking, or last night we were just, you know, sitting there talking and I had my arm around her and I said, I am so grateful for these 48 years. And she kind of smiled and I smiled. We gave each other a little kiss. And you know, what's funny is we went on doing kind of our own thing, but it was a special time, meaning, yeah, you can have a regret, but don't wallow in your regret. Make a decision to do something different.
That's right. I agree. Alice, what about you? Any regrets?
Becky, Steve taught me through Healing is a Choice that regret is a God-given emotion, and it's a warning signal that something in our life is unresolved, unfinished, and needs our spiritual and emotional attention. And he taught me about making amends and looking back through my life and the mistakes I've made that I didn't do the repair work for. And so as I followed the plan of Healing is a Choice, and I called people from grade school whom I had injured with my words and with my actions, the regrets started to lift as I did the confession and the forgiveness work and brought those to the light. And the weight was lifted. And I have to keep up the cleanup process because I keep making mistakes. But I'm faster to repair. And we don't have to live with regret for long if we'll take action about it.
I agree. And, you know, that makes me think about this. Saturday, we're doing the Life Recovery Conference, the Repurpose Life. And we're going to talk all about how to do life when you need to have a do-over. And regrets, like you just were saying, Alice, that, you know, we don't have to live in that defeated place. We can learn a new way to have a great life and find connection. And you can find all about it. It's easy. It's online this Saturday. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I just wanted to reiterate that this Saturday, September 24th, we're going to do an online life recovery conference, and you can join us there. The reason why I repeated this is because I think that so many people can benefit from what we're going to talk about on Saturday, and you can get the information at newlife.com, or you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. But I'm especially excited because tomorrow we're going to celebrate our 100th episode of Life Recovery Today, the television show. Little did you know that we've been doing this for a couple of years, and it's just really amazing. And this particular episode just takes combination of all different parts of those 100 episodes, and I just think you'll be encouraged by it. And you can find it at liferecoverytoday.net, or you can watch it on NRB TV, and we'll give you all that information. But, you know, as we are going to answer some calls right now, I just want to encourage you, if you're listening and you need some help, we are here for you. You can call us at 1-800-229-3000. We're going to be here for a couple of hours, and, you know, Jim and Alice are pretty wise, and you might need to have some advice from them. So why don't you give us a call? We're going to go right now to Mimi, who's calling us from Los Angeles, California, listens on KKLA. Hi, Mimi, how you doing, and how can we help you today?
Hi, I'm well. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
I've been married for 11 years, and my husband sees himself as spiritual, and yet he feels he has a very strong relationship with God. Yet he treats me with harshness, and there's a control, and I've experienced emotional abuse throughout the marriage, and so I'm in a bind where it's like, as a wife, I don't want to enable this behavior. Like, he cannot emotionally abuse me, dismiss me, give me silent treatment when I have something to say. And yet, you know, I've come to a point where it's like, I want to leave. I want to file for divorce, and I've let him know I'm at my wit's end. And it's like, he won't change. You know, I've read about Gary Thomas as like, a man won't change if he's not feeling his own pain. Yet he knows I've been in pain forever and there's no change. And I want to know, like, how do I set a boundary that he'll respect when he doesn't respect my boundaries? I also know that he feels the main need that he has to protect himself. He has built walls around himself to protect himself, and he will protect himself over me. And I just don't feel like it's ever been a spiritual marriage, like a oneness.
Okay.
It's been really like boyfriend, girlfriend.
Okay. Well, we're sorry to hear that, Mimi, but I think we can help you with some of this. Let's start with Jim and see what he has to offer.
Mimi, let me ask you a question. Have you ever talked with a counselor or a pastor or someone, the two of you together?
We have. We've done an intensive in Missouri, and then we've also had a few life coaches and spoken to a pastor. The time we spoke to the pastor at church, he was really angry, and he didn't really get involved in our conversation, and it was a one-time deal.
Right, right. Well, actually, you've taken a step that's so important, because I find that a lot of times with men, and I think us men, sometimes we have our egos get in the way, but sometimes when there is a third party who can kind of help, you know, you all talk through it and deal with some of the issues, and sounds like he's putting up walls like crazy, you know, that sometimes that can break down. It didn't work for you. It sounds like the intensive that you did in Missouri didn't work for you all.
No, the information he took from that was that I need to work on myself. I need to take care of my yard. It's not him. And so there's been like gaslighting and blaming and not taking his respect, and he's really good at doing that. And so that's where, like, I feel like the emotional abuse comes in, and it's at a point like we can't, it's useless to talk just the two of us, but he won't go back to counseling because he doesn't want to hear that it's him.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, but.
Are you willing to go to counseling just on your own? Or are you doing that?
Yeah, I have actually gotten some counseling from BetterHelp. Mm-hmm. And I did reach out to this one woman who was like a spiritual counselor, like a Christian counselor, and she really told me, like, it sounds like he spiritually left your marriage a long time ago. And I said, well, I don't believe he spiritually married me. One of the first things he said to me a week after our marriage was, he said, what's mine is what's yours is yours. And I said, no, that's really not marriage. And
so, Mimi, let's hear what Alice has to say. Yep. It sounds like it's at an impasse, but I've seen some miraculous things that can happen, and it sounds like he's got some wounding. But, Alice, what would you offer Mimi?
Mimi, it has been a painful, lonely 11 years, and your best efforts have not produced fruit in your marriage. You are at such a painful place that it makes sense to me that you are considering divorce. And how awful that even that is not calling your husband's attention to the severity of the pain. When you brought up divorce to him, how did he respond?
Kind of like, wow, like he doesn't have control over that. But yet he's never been one to say, okay, what can I do? I'm ready to fight for this marriage. It's like he's sunk, like...
So he gave you little to no response as you brought up divorce.
Yes.
And have you gone through any process of different levels of separation from him? And are you willing to consider that before divorce?
I've left him early in the marriage for 2 months, and then I left another time for a few weeks and went to my mom's house. Financially, it's a hardship. Otherwise, I would definitely look into separation over a divorce.
Why did you return both times?
Good question. Like, I don't know. Just like out of faith, hope, love, knowing that he has. I learned right at the beginning of our marriage that he had trust issues. Like, I thought, you don't trust me in a way, in a sense of I can go wherever I want. Do what I want, but he doesn't trust another human being. So I thought, well, let me show him he could trust me. You know, that didn't work. He's not going to trust me.
Did the separation have any effect on him? Did it soften him towards you temporarily, or did it lead to him accepting counseling at the time?
A little of both. Okay. I saw that he went and got a little counseling, and he had this epiphany, and I really saw him like, wow, this is amazing, but he never followed through. And then when I did return, he did make a comment like, I don't want that black cloud back in the house.
So, Mimi, I'm going to gently challenge you, and this is so hard because you've been in so much pain for over a decade now. But I know you're considering whether or not your divorce is biblical because you mentioned that spiritual abandonment and you haven't mentioned infidelity. It doesn't sound like that's a part of your story. And I think you're right to question, do I have the biblical grounds for divorce or not? And I don't know that it is a strong case for a biblical grounds for divorce, but Matthew 18 certainly does support separation. And I know financially that would be very trying, but my challenge to you, Mimi, is that you left appropriately previously, and I think you came back too soon. Because your separation from him did affect his behavior. Now, that may be different now, but I would ask you to try again a separation, potentially even a legal separation, which can help you financially to take that course, but to stay away longer and not return just because he's nicer for a little while or just because he goes to counseling for a little while. But I believe that your marriage deserves one more chance. Fully guided by a therapist, that you stay in therapy, even if it's just individually, while you go through a therapeutic separation and do not return until there's an extended period of evidence for change. And if there's not, then I think you have stronger grounds to consider a biblical divorce.
I think some of the times that when we deal with stuff like this too, Mimi, it's like, it is so hard. You've been doing this for so long. And I'm kind of curious, I would wonder what his response would be if I said to your husband, what is the story? Like, what is so difficult for you to connect with Mimi, or what's so difficult about this marriage? Because there are always two sides, right? And I'm sure you would love to hear whatever his struggle is as well. But that, like what Alice is suggesting, there has to be a plan in the separation. It can't just be we're going to divide and conquer. We've got to come back together if we're going to have a marriage. You know, I would, of course, encourage you, I don't know if he'll be willing, but to join us at our intimacy and marriage workshop, because we've dealt with couples very similar to your situation that it seems impassable, like not just impossible, but impassable. We can't get over this rift, but I think it could help you. We're going to send you a copy of How We Love and the How We Love workbook as well.
Becky, it always helps to continue the dialogue, which involves,
yes,
I know I'm imperfect. I know that you mentioned a black cloud. I know that my complaints, my concerns are heavy, and I don't always bring them to you perfectly. So that's why I'm going to continue going to individual therapy, because I've got work to do on myself.
Right.
Sometimes that brings about a little bit of hope for a spouse that's stuck and is unwilling to seek the therapeutic help.
Right. And many times along that same thought process, Alice, you've got a spouse who is defensive and needs a way to get back into the conversation. When our defenses are strong, it's because we are either anxious, we're hurt, we're fearful, and, you know, all of those things combined can make for a division in marriage. So we're going to be praying for you, Mimi, and hope that you'll join us at Intimacy and Marriage. Right now, we're going to go and talk with Kathleen, who's calling us from Washington, D.C., listens on Sirius XM, and we're so grateful you called. Kathleen, how can we help you today?
Hi, thank you. So a quick synopsis and a question. We have our 20-year-old daughter. She's at home finishing a 2-year degree. Which is terrific. She's independent, working 3 days a week, saving her money, but she does refuse to help around the house. She says it's your house, your dishes. She spends a lot of time online playing games. So this causes me a lot of frustration because my husband and I work and, you know, come home and, you know, the few things aren't done. So I feel like I know exactly what needs to be done. She needs to be paying for things like her phone, her car insurance, and maybe even, you know, rent that we could decide to put aside for her. The problem is getting, well, first of all, her to, you know, buy into this as our home. She's an adult. But my husband does not help me follow through. So it comes down to, you know, mom being the bad guy, mom being the heavy, and dad not following through. So she can take full advantage of, you know, the difference of opinion. So,
well, I think we get the picture, Kathleen. Alice, you want to have a clarifying question?
Kathleen, was there ever a time that your daughter was helpful in the home?
It's always been a bit of a struggle to get them to follow through on, you know, what they need to do.
And who's the them? Is that your husband and daughter? Are there more players in this?
No, my two daughters. My younger daughter is off at college now in a different state, and my older daughter is at home. She graduated from high school and pretty much everything was closed with COVID, so she kind of missed the opportunity for a 4-year school. She wanted to save money. And
okay, we get the idea, Kathleen. So, Jim, you're kind of the expert when it comes to this kind of thing. Not that you're not, Alice, but I tell you, when Kathleen's talking about this, I'm just thinking you've got some ideas for her.
Yep. Kathleen, she doesn't sound like she's really become an adult yet. You know, and a lot of times, you know, when kids move from, you know, kind of 18, 19, 20, they're telling you that they're an adult, but they don't act like an adult. And so she doesn't know how to be an adult. And I'm not sure you guys have done a good job of helping her. I mean, you may be enabling dependency by allowing her to just get this free ride. And maybe, Becky, at the, you know, after this break, we could come up with a couple of real practical ideas that could help Kathleen and many others have a more effective relationship with their kids and help them become responsible adults.
I agree, Jim. We're going to take this break, Kathleen. We'll come back. You know, you're not the only one that's dealing with this, and we hear this a lot, but we'll give you some pointers when we come back. Maybe you're listening, and this is part of the challenge that you have, is your adult children, whether they're in the house or not. But, you know, we can help you with those challenges. You can call us at 1-800-229-3000, and we will be back after this break.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We would love to hear from you, and we're going to take calls for another hour and a half, so you can call us at 1-800-229-3000. But right now, we are going to finish our call with Kathleen, who's got a 20-year-old adult daughter that lives at home and feels pretty comfortable there, I'd say.
Sounds like she's got a good deal.
Yeah, I like that.
She's saying to you, you know, it's your house and it's your dishes, and you're thinking, wait a minute, you're an adult, you have responsibilities. You know, the thing that we want to help our kids, and especially, you know, we get into the COVID thing and she's online and she has a job and she's busy and on and on. But the truth is, first of all, I would hope that you and your husband could get on the same page. And I think you have the conversation with your daughter, not in the heat of the battle, but, you know, definitely at another time. And you and your husband are going to have to ask this question before you even have anything. Are we helping or are we enabling? If we enable our kids and we enable dependency on us, like we're going to do their dishes and we're going to pay for their cell phone and whatnot when they have a job and they have other responsibilities, we're actually creating entitled kids who sometimes have a failure to launch. And you obviously don't want that. And you know what? Your daughter doesn't either. Okay. So we go from enabling to entitlement to to honestly a failure to launch. So to do that, I think, there's a word in the recovery movement, you know, that oftentimes says, hey, you earned it. So earned it means, you know, there are these responsibilities you're going to have to agree upon. And I have found it very successful to have, here's what our expectations, now that you're an adult, you know, make it a marker, it's a rite of passage. Here's some of our expectations. And make it very short. We did this with our daughter, and I think we had like 3 or 4 expectations. I had about 20, but I kept my mouth shut. And then I said to my daughter, what are some expectations on your part? And she threw out some – I was shocked because I thought she was going to, you know, say no expectations. And she said, well, Dad, sometimes when my friends are over, you just kind of plop down, and you were a youth pastor. And so, you know, they love you, but you kind of take over my friendship, and I want permission to be able to tell you when to come in and when not to. And I was like, my heavens. But you know what? It was really good, Kathleen, for us to have those expectation things, because we needed to, and you know what I gave her? I gave her a bucket with a brush, and I said, you know what this is? And she said, I'm not sure. I said, it's a toilet brush. That's how you clean toilets. And that bathroom that you're connected to, we expect it to be clean. And it's just that simple. And so then we even had some consequences, and by the way, I had consequences too in terms of not, you know, joining in with, you know, my daughter's friends. But you know, you have some consequences. And if you don't want to do this, I mean, you could pay for somebody to come up and clean, but it seems like that'd be a waste of your money. You know, that kind of a thing. And you know, it was really helpful. Did we have any bumps and bruises along the way with our? I have 3 daughters, so you have 2. We had 3. We had some bumps and bruises, and it didn't always go perfect. But I would get those expectations written down first with you and your husband. Now he's on your same page, and then you're just looking at a piece of paper. You're not making it all emotional. And typically, not in the heat of the battle, but just in a moment, they're going to say, well, yeah, I can do that. I mean, if that's all you're looking for is for me to clean up my coffee cup after I've been on my online class and help with this or that, or, you know, here's whatever the responsibilities are. Now you got a shot at it.
Yeah. And Alice, what would you say for Kathleen to kind of think about?
Kathleen, you've had a real tough job, because not having your spouse's support up to this point, it does put you in a tough position, and you are the one that has to address the negative topics with your kids. So I want you to sprinkle grace into what Jim is proposing that you do by praising your daughter for what you're proud of that she's doing. And if she's ever helped out around the house, bring that up. And apologize that you and your husband haven't done this perfectly with her. And if you can think of any specific mistakes you've made, I've nagged you about it, or I raised my voice the other day when I got upset, I shouldn't have done it that way, bring in an apology. Okay. And then the expectations that Jim was talking about. And lastly, I'd have you say, and you are welcome to continue to enjoy our internet, continue to enjoy that phone that we're paying for as you are completing these expectations, because I'm glad to share my resources with my adult children who are respectful of what I'm asking of them.
That's beautiful. And you know what, Kathleen, she's not going to like it. So just be prepared. I think sometimes when we put a boundary in place or have those conversations, we're thinking that they're going to rise and call us blessed. And it doesn't always work out that way. But we're going to send you a copy of Jim's book, Doing Life with Your Adult Children. And I think that that will be some great help. But I love what both of you guys offered to Kathleen. You know, it's hard because our expectation is at 20, they got it figured out, but they obviously need a little bit more help. So,
finish your thought. Okay. Kathleen could she could have her husband listen to the call afterwards, right, Becky? Because we have recordings of this. Yeah. And her husband could then give his opinion of whether or not he could come into agreement about this.
Yeah, and a lot of times, and Jim, you probably know this too, that couples will get frozen in situations like this. What are we going to do? And it, you know, like, how are we going to get her to do whatever she needs to do to be an adult? And there's a whole spectrum of how this happens. It can be something because the child or the adult child has addiction issues. It could be just a lack of responsibility. Could be that you don't want to feel bad as they struggle. And all of those things can really get an adult stuck, and I think that's what we're talking
about.
You're right,
and so we have to keep in our mind that the goal, the ultimate goal, is responsible adulthood, and the only way to help them become responsible adults is to give them that passport to adulthood and say, you're an adult now. And, you know, I love this African phrase that says, if you carry them on your back, they'll never know how far the town is. Well, you know what? Kathleen's daughter needs to figure out how far the town is, and she's not going to do it if you're carrying her. And Kathleen's husband needs to hear that too.
That's so true. And you know, we want to launch them strong. We want to have you know, great leaders, future leaders of our communities. And our kids are it. You know, and so when we help them to get launched strong, it can make a difference in everyone's life, and especially your marriage as well as your family. I'm so glad you called, Kathleen. I know you're not alone in this, but you know, we're gonna be here for you if you need some more help along the way. We'll be right back after this message.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I just want to take a minute and thank all of our supporters, the people who give through Club New Life and through special gifts. We just could not be here without your help. And I always am amazed at the testimonies that we hear. And one such talks about specifically New Life Live. New Life Live has literally changed my life. Coming from an extremely chaotic childhood, my mind was messed up, and although I was saved, I had many issues that caused me to have challenges as a wife, a mother, and a servant of God. But through New Life Live, I've been introduced to biblical principles that have helped me to grow and become useful in the kingdom. I truly thank God for New Life Live, and I think a lot of our listeners would agree with that. I agree with that as well, even though I know I'm on this side of the microphone. But I have learned so much from listening to the program, and maybe if you have been listening for a while, just share it with somebody, whether you're watching on YouTube or you're listening on a podcast. There is somebody out there that could be encouraged by what we do here at New Life Live. And we couldn't do it without the generous gifts and donations from so many people. And I just want to say thank you. During the month of September, for any gift, we will send you a copy of Steve's latest devotional, 100 Days of Freedom from Shame. And boy, it's just such a blessing to know that there it can be freedom from shame. And so just, you know, if you've never given before, maybe today's the day that you give us a call, or if you go online to newlife.com and make a donation to help us continue ministering to so many people who need help and hope in life's hardest places. That's what we're here for. Right now, we're going to take a call, and we're going to talk to Daniel, who's calling us from Washington, D.C., listens on a great station, WAVA, and we're so glad you held on. Daniel, how can we help you today?
I guess to make a long story short, I'm trying to figure out how to be made whole again. Recently had a relationship with a parent that had to be severed due to the fact that they were unhealthy. I was being taken advantage of, and I consulted my leadership, and that was the only avenue for me to take. And they were the only parent that I had a relationship with. So it's like now I don't really have any family connections. And it's how do I explain it? I feel shame, even though I know in my head I didn't do anything wrong. It's almost like my validation was based on what they thought of me. And, my son takes care of me. My son does this. My son does that. And I've always been the good boy and the only son. And it's almost like my body and my emotions are screaming, I need a connection, I need a family, I need the love of a mother, I need the love of a father, but I don't know how to fix it.
Wow, Daniel, that's really heartbreaking. Sounds like you have been through some real difficult times. Alice, let's start with you. What would you have to offer to Daniel?
Daniel, can you tell us why you had to sever the relationship?
Yes, I don't know if it's the right word to use, but it was a codependent relationship. I was basically the breadwinner. I paid all the bills. I did everything, and I wasn't going to be able to do it anymore due to a new home purchase. And I was gaslighted. I was no longer the good son. And I had to take on a second job so that I could pay for both houses. And it's like I just couldn't take the verbal abuse anymore and the mental abuse and manipulation. And I couldn't see it. Those around me could see it, but I couldn't see that I was being manipulated and I was being used. And I was just trying to be a good son. In order to live my life and do things that I've never done before and be healthy, I had to sever that relationship. Either do what they want you to do, or walk away. And that's what I had to do.
Is your stance, I will have no communication any longer with that parent?
That's funny you say that. I don't feel like it's healthy right now. I am in counseling. I've done EMDR, still working through that. I have a trauma-informed counselor been working through for the past couple of years. And it's kind of gotten to the point where I bumped into them. I had a neighbor that recently passed away, and I bumped into them at the funeral. I was praying all week. I was nervous. Lord, help me to respond the way you would have me respond. I don't know what to do. So I ended up bumping into them, when I saw, two other relatives. And the best that I could do was I smiled and I waved and I kind of addressed everyone as a group, and that wasn't good enough. So when I walked away, they gently grabbed me by the arm and said, well, don't you recognize your parent? And and they said, I love you, and they hugged me, and I tried to motion the words as best I could, because the hurt just hurt so badly. It's like, well, does it matter how I feel, or should I just continue to respond the way that you think that I should respond? And I can't process my grief.
And so,
through no choice of my own, mm-hmm. I ran into them.
And so basically you don't intend to be in touch with them, but you'll be cordial if you do come across them, and you'll no longer financially support that parent.
Right. I had to cut that off. It had even gotten to the point where I was paying them my tithes. And it's like, no, now that I'm a part of a good, solid church, my tithes belong with my local church. And that's kind of when things began to...
Daniel, it does sound like a good choice for now that you have drawn away from that parent. And I would just have you continue to consider, God, how do you want me to honor this parent? And sometimes the right choice is no contact for a period of time. And God often asks us, as we build assertiveness and strength and we establish boundaries, he sometimes asks us to re-engage at some level. And so just keep that as a question to consider with your therapist, and also be willing to look at, is there a beam in my eye? Did I go about this the right way? Have I apologized for my part, for my hurt in the relationship? And is there any cleaning up, God, on my side of the street that I need to do about this situation? And lastly, we do all have a need for a family. And sometimes that has to be a spiritual family. It has to be men from the church, people from the church that come around us, because our biological family is unable to be there for us in a healthy way. So pursue that need with safe people in other ways.
That's right. That's right. Jim, what would you like to offer Daniel?
Well, Daniel, I feel your pain, because I think it's very, very tough what you are going through and what you have gone through. And I saw a little opening as you were talking, because you're feeling so, in some ways you're feeling rejected, you're feeling hurt and the pain. I have a principle for you. And the principle goes like this. Protect your family and honor, protect your own personal life and family, and honor your parents the best you can. To honor your parents does not mean that you take, you know, full responsibility for their finances. No. It does mean that you want to perhaps honor them. And the interesting side to it is they don't sound like they have what we call sometimes relational or emotional intelligence. I don't mean that in a bad sense. I don't know them, but they don't sound like they're doing this so well. And sometimes you just have to lower your expectation. I had somebody say to me one time, my dad was an alcoholic and a lovely man, but he was an alcoholic, and I just didn't have the dad relationship that other people had. And he said, you're going to have to lower your expectations. And interesting enough, my dad didn't have good emotional or relational intelligence. So when I lowered my expectations, I was actually able to have those cordial conversations without, taking care of him, if you would. And I couldn't always. And there were times when I walked away going, oh boy, shucks. Doggone, shouldn't have done that. But you know what? You may want to eventually begin to take a baby step toward having a relationship with them, because they're family, and because you want to honor them, even though they didn't do it right, and boy, they've treated you lousy. It's not maybe for today. Earlier in the broadcast, we talked in marriage about a separation. Maybe you're on a separation from them, and what that had to do was cut the financial strings. But don't see this as cut and dry for the rest of your life. Work with your therapist to see if it possible to, you know, maybe have a cup of coffee with them and not do tit for tat, not go through the things. And even if they're going at you, you just go, well, I suppose, you know, you have your right to have your opinion. I have a different opinion. But don't even go there with them that moment.
Right.
You develop that relationship. And slowly but surely, you never know what can happen. Miracles happen every day.
Right. It's a reset. It's a recorrection of how the relationship should be. We're going to send you a copy of Healing is a Choice. I'm actually going to send you a copy, Take Your Life Back, too. I know that's a Steve thing. But I think in both situations, Daniel, the healing that you're going to experience as you continue to recover from this unhealthy connection with your parents, you're going to find a way to have some reconnection with them. And I appreciate so much what Alice and Jim have offered, and I hope that will be of help to you. You know, if it's not one thing, it's your mother. We've said that before, but sometimes it's your mom and your dad, and it's always something. But we're here for you, and we're going to take your calls again after this break. Thanks for listening.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I just want to remind you, if you have not heard us talk about Lumina, you haven't been listening, but I'm going to tell you, we are so excited about the women's event. It's called Lumina. It's going to be at the Museum of the Bible. We're going to have speakers like Jen Wilkin, Nicole C. Mullen, Lauren Green, and just so many things that are going to come together at one place with your friends. And we got a deal going on right now that if you buy two tickets, you get it for $69 each. It's perfect for you and a friend to come and join us. You can go to newlife.com, click on the Lumina banner, and you'll learn more about that. We're going to continue to take calls. And if you have anything that's on your heart and mind, you can call us at 1-800-229-3000. Right now, we're going to talk to Robert, who's calling us from Winchester, Virginia, listens on WAVA. Hi, Robert. How can we help you today?
Hi. Yeah. I want to figure out if I'm a narcissist or I'm around narcissists in my family.
Well, what makes you ask the question, Robert?
What makes me ask the question?
Yes, sir.
Because me and my wife aren't seeing eye to eye, and she feels I left her. And in a sense, I guess I see her point, but she's not talking to me. She's only texting me. Hmm. And she says that I holler at her, and I have, because she don't answer back when you ask a straight out question. She won't answer the question. Like right now, are we going to talk or not? And she just sends a text.
Robert, did she used to talk to you, especially early on in the marriage? Was she willing to answer your questions?
Yeah, but it was never answering the question to me. Like, just, like, so basic, like, of a question. And that basic don't make it any sense either, because I can't get a yes or a no. I can only get something that she feels.
How frustrating. No wonder you struggle with having some anger towards her, and it would make sense, too, that you even raise your voice just trying to get something out of her because you want to know what she's thinking. You want to know her opinions.
I believe I'm just trying to get a rise out of her to get her to speak, and she didn't know.
Well, Alice, why don't you speak to Robert, let's speak to the question about narcissism. If you can just give him a couple of definitions about what that would look like. I'm not sure that that's where we're at with Robert, but I think it would be helpful.
Yeah.
Robert, I don't know
what they are.
We all got a big smile on our face when you ask the question, because it's very unusual for someone who truly does fit the definition of a narcissist to wonder if they are a narcissist,
right?
Because generally a narcissist thinks that they're just fine, they're really smart, they're very accomplished, that's what they think about themselves, and they usually see other people as the problems and not the one causing the problem, that they're not. It's hard to take responsibility for yourself and the ways you hurt people if you're a narcissist. So the fact that you can question and say, I have hollered at her. Yes, I have. And this is why. It's a good sign that you have enough humility to be able to take a strong look at yourself and know that, yeah, you're imperfect. You do cause some problems in your marriage. And your wife is difficult to have a conversation with. So, Robert, if you're also wondering how to bridge the gap with your wife, I think you probably have to consider, what hurt did your wife bring into the marriage? Because I have a feeling that there's probably some pain in her past. Just briefly, do you know about one or two things that might have happened to her before she got married to you?
No, ma'am. No, I honestly don't. And again, that's kind of my thought. Hearing about narcissism and not knowing or not being smart enough to know all that stuff. I just am a simple person. And I'm like, she talked about her brother hurting her to someone or somewhere. I don't know. It was a long time, 30 years ago. And I heard something about her brother hurting her or doing something, of some sort, what I don't know. And I didn't ask questions because I was hearing hearsay.
Okay.
I was raised to hear from the horse's mouth.
Well, so, Robert, I don't want to run out of time. I don't want to run out of time before the end of the show, but I hear that you guys are in an impasse and you're going to need some help. Jim, what would you offer Robert as how he and his wife can find some way to connect?
Hey, I'm going to give you some good news, Robert. Communication is a learned trait. Mm-hmm. It's not that we just inherit this. We can learn to be more effective at communication, even when you've been married for as long as you've been. I tell people read a book a year on marriage, at least. I would suggest you read a book on communication and actually go to an event. I mean, the intimacy and marriage event that that New Life is involved in is an incredible event. And I heard Steve say yesterday that he's never had somebody go who was even thinking about divorce. You didn't say this, but that who has ever then went and got a divorce. I mean, it's just an incredible experience. And so I could see you all saying, you know what? We haven't done it so well for all these years, but it's never too late, and we can learn to communicate more effectively. But that's how you would know about narcissism or any of the other things, because then it'll get brought up. But that may not be
can
the
I
issue.
Can I interrupt a minute?
Yes, please.
I had went to counseling a long time ago, and she made a comment just off the cuff, like we weren't talking about it. She just said, "Are you still going?" I said, "Not anymore. It got stopped for whatever reason." Mm-hmm. And she goes, "Oh, I thought I was wondering when you were going to ask me to go, right?" And I'm like, "Well, I thought I was going for me because you said I got problems."
So, Robert, I'm going to interrupt you. There's a lot of hope right there because your wife wants to be invited into counseling, and she still is communicating with you, even though it's by text. So I hope you'll go to her to say, "Hey, I've been hollering at you. I want to hear your thoughts, but I haven't been going about it in a way that's helpful or life-giving to us. How about we revisit that counseling idea?"
And let's learn it together.
Counseling, a Christian person. A Christian, okay. He goes, you want to go to a Christian counselor. Why does it got to be that?
And
she claims to be a Christian.
Robert, it doesn't have to be a Christian. If your wife will go to a secular counselor, not a Christian, go to a secular counselor. They're fabulous secular counselors.
I would. She just burst it out with, and you would want it to be a Christian counselor. And I never even said anything yet.
That's okay. You know, Robert, here's the thing. You guys are in a spot where you're both very defensive. And so I think you, like Alice said, take her up on the opportunity. We will connect you with a therapist in the area. And even some of the best Christian counselors work with folks that are secular. It's not like, you know, it's an either or. And we've got some great folks in our network that can help you with these communication challenges. We're so glad you called today, Robert. We'll be praying for you. We're going to send you a copy of How We Love, which is Mylon K. Yurkovich's book. And it's all about that communication as well as what is impacting that present day disconnection. Alice and Jim, we're so glad that you were with us today and for all of your wisdom. And if you're holding on the line, please do, because we got one more show coming up and Alice and Jim will be able to give you their wisdom. We're so grateful for you listeners and know that we do care about you. If you need anything, give us a call. And if you want to talk to us, you can call us at 1-800-229-3000. But for anything else, we are there for you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.